Well, good morning, everybody. I'm not sure why he felt the need to raise my microphone. It is good to be with you this morning. Thank you for your beautiful piano playing. Did a great job. Good to be here, church. Hope everybody's doing well today. I've enjoyed being with you this morning, and got to have Sunday school earlier and share a little bit about our time. My family and I went to South Africa on a mission trip, and so we're getting back and getting adjusted to that. And so it's good to be here this morning to open up God's Word with you. If you have your Bibles, we'll be in the book of Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17 is where we'll be this morning. And the title of my message is Fight the Giants in Your Life. Fight the Giants in Your Life. And you know, it's interesting. A lot of times as believers, it seems like churches and preachers focus a lot on sin. Have you ever noticed that? That every message seems to revolve around sin in some form or fashion. And so I kind of thought through this a little bit. And as I began to think, if you think about what John the Baptist, his message was in the New Testament, it was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And then Jesus' message, not much longer after that, was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And if you remember, Jesus went on and gave the Sermon on the Mount about right living and things that were sin and defining what that was. And then, of course, Jesus was born so that he could take away the sins of the world. He died on the cross to pay our penalty for our sin. And all of that was so that we could have a relationship with God, so we could live with God forever and have a relationship with him. But the reality is that sin was the problem. And so Jesus had to handle the sin problem so that we could be saved when we call upon him. And so sin, it isn't just like an idea or an abstract. It's a real thing that causes real problems between us and God. And if we don't have our heart right with God, if we have a heart that is full of sin or a life full of sin, then we are relationally separated from God. If we don't have Christ in our life, or we have fellowship that is broken with God because we have sin that is continuing in our life. And so sin's a big deal. And so today we're going to be talking a lot about sin. So brace yourselves a little bit, just a little heads up on that. If you will, join me in a word of prayer. Father God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, it is an honor to be before you and your people, and it is an honor to preach your word. And God, I just pray that right now that you would speak to our hearts, and Lord, that you would draw us close to you and let the word of God speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. All right, guys. So something I want to just address today. I think there's a lot of times then as believers, there's certain sins that we don't consider such a big deal. And all sin is a big deal by all means, but there are certain sins that aren't as gripping as other sins. Some of those sins, or maybe sins like a white lie. If you're a habitual liar, that's kind of an easier sin to stop, isn't it? You just stop lying. That's what you should do because that's breaking fellowship with the Lord. If perhaps you're a student and you're cheating on a test and God convicts you of that, you realize that that's a sin. That's an easy sin to break. You just stop cheating on the test. That's kind of an easier sin to break. Now, it's still a serious sin, and that's still a sin that you need to deal with because that brings problems between you and the Lord. But it's not necessarily a gripping sin. But there is other sins that are more gripping, that are a little bit harder to pull away than others. Sins that once they get a hold of you, they hold you longer and they take you further than you really ever intended to go. And so I began to kind of think of a list of those, and I won't go through all of those, but I'll let you use some of your imagination on some of them. But some of the gripping sins is sins like lust, or sex, or homosexuality, or pornography, or drinking, or drugs, or anger, or bitterness. All of these type sins, and a whole bunch more, are sins that once they get in your life, they have a grip on your life, and they're harder to break away from. I would call those giants in your life, giants of sin in your life, giants that don't belong in your life, sin that doesn't belong in your life, sin that is a big sin, a big giant, if you will, that is going to hurt your fellowship with the Lord. And so really the question I'm addressing today is, how do you fight the giants in your life? And we're using David in 1 Samuel chapter 17 as a lesson on how to fight those giant sins in your life. How to literally knock down the sin giant in your life. So let me give you a little bit of context. 1 Samuel chapter 17. At this point in the Israelite history, Saul is king. He is king of the Israelites. And not too long before this, actually just the previous chapter, he had sinned against God and God was going to take away his kingdom from him. Which kind of gives you an idea of what kind of king he was. But the Israelites, their enemy were the Philistines. The Philistines hated the Israelites, and the Israelites, they didn't like the Philistines, and they fought, and they fought all the time. And so just kind of helps set the scene a little bit, where Goliath enters in, and David enters in, and Israelites and the Philistines. Basically, one day, the Philistines, they came up to fight the Israelites. And if you can picture what it was like, it wasn't like there was buildings and all that. And in their day, it was just open land. And so when the Philistines came on the Israelite land, they were on one side of the mountain, and the Israelites on another side of the mountain, and there was a valley in between them. And old Goliath, he would come up, and he would shout things and challenge the Israelites to a battle. And so that's where we're going to pick up this morning in our passage. So 1 Samuel chapter 17, let's read a little bit of that, starting in verse 20. So David arose early in the morning and left the flock with a keeper and took the supplies and went as Jesse had commanded him. Now, David at this point in history, he's probably somewhere in his preteens. He's like 12, maybe 14-ish. And he came in to the circle of the camp while the army was going out in battle array, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines drew up in battle array, array against army, army against army. And then David left his baggage in the care of the baggage keeper and ran to the battle line and entered in order to greet his brothers. And as he was talking with him, behold, the champion, the Philistine from Gath named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines, and he spoke these same words, and David heard them. Now, what words was Goliath shouting at the Israelites? Look at verse 10 over here with me. Go to verse 10. And again, the Philistine said, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and Israel and all heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So what Goliath was yelling and shouting to the Israelites was just this idea of that God was not able to deliver the Israelites. Let me get with you. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let me get there. There we go. I read the wrong verse. Verse 8. All right, so Goliath, he stood and he shouted to the ranks of Israel and said to them, why do you come out to draw up in battle array? Am I not the Philistine and you servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. And if he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. And so that's where I want to hone in at. Here's the reality of what the Philistine was saying. Goliath was saying to the Israelites that he was greater than the Israelite God, that he had more power than the Israelite God, that the Philistine God had more power than the Israelite God. And so when Goliath was saying, standing up there before the Israelites and saying, I defy Israel, what he was really saying is, I mock Israel. I mock the God of Israel. I defy him. I blaspheme him. I believe that I am greater than the God of Israel. And so if you want to face your giant that's in your life, the first thing you really got to do is understand what's at stake. And David understood what was at stake when it came to fighting Goliath. If you see, David understood that Goliath was taunting God himself. He wasn't just taunting the Israelites. He was taunting the God of the Israelites. He was basically saying to the Israelites and everybody that was listening that God is not great enough to defeat the Philistines. And so he taunted not just the Israelites, but he taunted God himself. And David understood that's exactly what was at stake. He understood and knew exactly this is why he has to fight his giant. And I think about us, and I think about the giants in our life, how we cannot run, we cannot hide from the giants in our life, because when we do, we're letting them taunt the God that we serve. We're letting them defy or mock the God that we serve. If you think about it if the outside world is looking at our lives as believers, and we allow sin to control us, to define us, to shame us, to put us down, what that is doing is letting that sin mock our God. And so when lost people look at our lives and see us controlled by sin, put down by sin, it's a testament that, is your God strong enough to defeat that giant, or is he not? Is your God strong enough to remove that from your life, or is he not? And so when we allow sin in our life and we allow these giants to come up into our life, we're allowing that sin to mock our God. And that's exactly what Goliath the Philistine was doing. He was saying that I mock your God. Your God isn't strong enough to knock me down. Your God isn't strong enough to remove me from this hill. Your God isn't able to do that. I'm able to do that. I'm able to mock you. And so everybody on the outside world is sitting there wondering, well, is the Israelite God strong enough to beat the Philistines? Is the Israelite God strong enough to knock down this giant, or is he not? So if you're in the shoes of the Israelites, you have a choice to make. Are you going to let this unbeliever tell you how powerful your God is? Are you going to let this uncircumcised Philistine, that's what David calls him, sit here and mock your God? So David was understanding what's at stake. Look at verse 26 with me. It says, then David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? You see, he understood what was at stake. He understood that for Goliath to stand up there and defy Israel, he was actually defying the God of Israel. He says, this is going to take away the reproach from Israel if someone handles this giant. And so it goes on, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God? See, David understood that what's at stake is not that there's a Goliath right there that needs to be taken out. Yes, that needs to happen. Not that there's an enemy in front of them that's standing between them and what they're supposed to be doing in their life. David understood what was most important about in front of them is the fact that Goliath was mocking God. Isn't that what he said? That he should taunt the armies of the living God. So if you're an Israelite, you have a choice to make. Is the Philistine God greater than the Israelites? You must believe that if you're an Israelite at this point, because you're over there hiding in tents and Goliath has been taunting you for 40 days. So do you believe that the Philistine God is greater than your God? Well, you must, because you're letting this giant sit here and mock you and mock your God. Or do you just not trust your God to destroy this giant in front of you? Well, that's not okay either, is it? And I believe it's very much the same in our lives. A lot of times we let these sins control us, to shame us, to move us, to shape us. And guys, what it's really doing is it's mocking the God that we serve. It's saying we're saying that God is not able to knock down that giant, or we don't trust God to knock down that giant, and neither one of those are okay. And we're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to know and believe that our God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the firstborn of all creation, that everything was created through him and for him and by him, and there is no one or no thing more powerful than him. And so this giant in your life, or this Goliath in your life, it has to be knocked down, because what's at stake is the glory of the Lord, the name of God. We cannot allow giants to remain in our lives, because when we do, we're allowing them to mock the God that we serve. That's what's at stake. That's why David understood he had to face this giant, because the name of God was on the line, and David has to fight the giant because the name of God is on the line. Friends, you have to fight the giants in your life because the name of God is on the line. So the first way to fight the giants in your life is to really understand what is at stake. And the primary thing that God cares about the most is his own name, is his own glory, is his own fame. And you are a representative of that. If you call yourself a follower of Jesus and you are hindered by a sin giant in your life, you have to face that giant. Because what's at stake is the glory of the Lord. The second thing you have to do in order to fight the giants in your life is you have to show up. Look at verse 37 with me. And we see that David showed up. Verse 37, and David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and may the Lord be with you. And then look at verse 48. It says, "Then it happened when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine." If you see, David showed up to the battle with the Philistine. When everyone else was afraid to face the giant, David showed up. When everyone else was hiding in their tents, David showed up. You see, you can't fight the giants in your life by hiding in the tents. You can't fight the giants in your life by running scared. You have to show up to the battle line and actually face the giant before you. Where was King Saul, the Israelite king? Where was he when the Goliath was shouting mockery against God for 40 days? He was hiding. Where was the Israelite army, the army that Saul had mustered, that had won battle after battle after battle through Israelite history? Where were they when Goliath was shouting mockery against God? They're hiding. So I think there's a really cool picture here that we see. It talks about the fact that Eliab, David's brother, was there. And you know who Eliab was? In the previous chapter, when David was going to be anointed king, Eliab, David's brother, was the one that Solomon the prophet saw and said, "Surely this is the one who's going to be king." Because he looked like a king. He looked like one that people would follow. He looked like one that should be king of Israel. And Solomon said, "Surely this is the one." If you remember what Scripture says, what does Scripture say? Don't look at the outward appearance, look at the inward appearance. Eliab's heart wasn't fully right with God, but David's was. And so David was anointed to be king of Israel next. Y'all remember? Chapter 16, you can read it later. And so the reason David was selected as king of Israel was not because he looked the part of being king of Israel, but because his heart was fully surrendered to the Lord. He had dealt with the giants in his life, and he was willing to let God knock down the giants in his life. And so David was anointed as king when Eliab wasn't, because his heart was right with the Lord. So where was Eliab during this whole battle when Goliath was sitting there shouting things to the Israelites? He was hiding in his tent, scared of the giant. Who was the one who faced the giant? The one whose heart was right with the Lord. The one whose heart was fully surrendered to God. The one who was fully convinced that God would knock down that giant himself. That's the one that was out there. It wasn't the king, it wasn't the army, and it wasn't the one who everybody else thought should be king. It was the one whose heart actually trusted that God could knock down the giants. And when you think about that with your own life, do you actually trust that God can knock down those giants? Are you hiding in your tent? Are you running from those giants? Are you ignoring those giants in your life and hoping that they'll go away? Let me tell you a little bit something about sin. Sin doesn't just go away on its own. If it grips your life, it will continue to grip your life. If it has a hold of you, it will continue to get a hold of you, and that grip will get stronger. Giants don't get smaller. They keep eating food. You know that, right? They continue to get bigger. They continue to get stronger. They continue to grip your life more. So you can't run from your giant because the giant's going to keep after you. You can't hide from your giant because the giant is going to get bigger. You have to show up and fight your giant, or the sin in your life will increase and the grip on your life will increasingly get bigger. We had some friends of ours in college that we were dear friends with. They were believers, and my wife and I, we were believers, and we all served in college ministry together. And we literally served Jesus together. Best of friends. Spent all those years together. He had an issue with pornography that he could not quite shake. And no matter what he did, it seemed to always pop up. And the truth of it is looking back, I don't know that he was facing his giant in the way he should have. And so they were married, and eventually Jennifer and I got married, and eventually all four of us went out to Texas to seminary together. She was in school, his wife, for a master's degree to go serve in ministry, and I was in school to go serve in ministry, and we were friends. I knew their walk with the Lord. I knew how close they were. Well, about 5 years ago, I heard something was going on in their life, so I picked up the phone. I was like, "Hey, man, what's going on?" Well, come to find out, that giant in his life that he never dealt with, it got bigger, and it grew, and it affected his marriage, and it affected his relationship with his kids, and both of them ended up having relationships outside of their marriage, and they're no longer married today. And I believe, looking back now that I know their story, that he would never deal with a giant of sin in his life. And it grew and it grew and it grew until it affected everything around them. And so you can't run from giants. You can't hide from those giants. You have to face those giants. Guys, I want to point this out to you because I think it's a super cool connection. Look at verse 28 and chapter 17. It says, "Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the man," talking about David, "and Eliab's anger burned against David. And he said, 'Why have you come down, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness?'" You like how he picks on David a little bit. "Why aren't you keeping up those little tiny sheep out there, David?" And he pointed out to him. He says, "I know your insolence and the wickedness of your heart, for you have come down in order to see the battle." But David said, "What have I done now? Was it not just a question?" And so what you see is Eliab, David's own brother, questioned his motives and why he was at the battle. Here's what I am going with this. When you finally decide to face the giants in your life, you'll always have negative Nancys. You'll always have people in your life that say, "Well, why are you doing that? Why are you taking that out of your life? Why are you stopping doing that? Why aren't you hanging out with us anymore? Why aren't you doing everything else that you used to do?" You're always going to have people who try to stop you from following the will of God for your life, from fighting the giant that's keeping you from your relationship with the Lord. It might come from a close family member, like David's father. David's father didn't send David out to the battle, did he? He left him at home with the sheep. "Take care of those wee little sheep, David." Eliab's brother, when he came to the battle, what did he say? "Why are you here?" Questioning his motives, questioning his reason for being at the battle. But David knew he was at that battle and had to fight that battle because the name of the Lord was on the line, and he didn't matter what anybody else had to say about that. David had to fight that battle because God's name was on the line. And so guys, when you think about your life, and as you begin to move sin out of your life and repent of that and deal with that and face those giants, you're going to have people in your life who say, "What are you doing? Why are you doing that? That's not that big of a deal. That's not that much of a sin. That's just a tiny sin. God doesn't care about that sin." Don't listen to those people, because what God is calling you to do is to face every giant in your life, every sin in your life, and remove those, because the glory of God is on the line. That is the call of your life, to show up and face your giants. The third way to face your giants, to knock down your giants, is you have to fight. But not just fight, but fight in the full confidence of the Lord. Look at scripture with me, starting in verse 43. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" That's what he thought of David. David was just a little boy. Goliath, this mighty warrior of a giant. He's suited up. Goliath is 9 foot 9 inches tall. If I'm guessing from like floor to maybe there, that's pretty close, is about the height of Goliath. He's wearing a full-scale armor. He has got his sword. He's got his shield. And so when he sees David, this is what Goliath says of David. "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his God. So notice where Goliath's faith was coming from, where his reliance was coming from. It was coming from his Philistine gods. This is why David had to fight the battle. Verse 44, "The Philistine also said to David, 'Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field.'" Goliath is a warrior. He eats little pumps for breakfast. Giants in your life will eat you if you do not handle them. You must handle the giants in your life. And Goliath is saying, "I'm going to handle you," and that's what's going to come. And so it goes on, verse 45. "Then David said to the Philistine," here's where your heart has to be. Here's where your message has to be. If you're going to fight the giant in your life, if you're going to handle the giant in your life, this must be your message to this giant. "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies, whom you have taunted." That is the full confidence of the Lord. David understood that he was going to fight this battle, not in his own strength, not in his own power, not in his own ways, but he was coming to fight this battle in the full confidence of the Lord. Isn't that what he says? "In the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies, of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted." Do you see the progression of where we got to this point? David says in this passage, what's at stake? That the God of Israel's armies, his name is at stake. That is the one whom the giant has taunted. This is why David is showing up to fight, and this is the power in which David fights, is in the name of the Lord of the Israel armies. David is showing up to fight in the full confidence of the Lord. Read on with me, if you will, verse 46. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. Let's go. If you're going to fight your giant, make sure you kill it. Make sure you remove his head. Don't leave sin to hang in your life, because it will come back. If it's a problem, and it's a gripping problem, you face it, you fight it, and you take his head off. Can I be that graphic? Because that's what you need to do with the sin in your life. So here's what happens if you think you're just going to fight Goliath haphazardly. You may defeat that. You may win the battle, but not win the war. But the reality is that giant will come back again. And so what did David say how he's going to handle the giant? He says, I will strike you down, and I will remove your head from you. You can't let sin in your life fester or linger. You have to deal with it, and you have to deal with it completely. It goes on. He says, and I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all the assembly know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's. Do you see where David's motive lies? Did he not say that all the earth may know? Do you see how God's name was on the line here? If the Israelites lose this battle, and Goliath, who's been taunting the Israelites for 40 days and 40 nights, wins this battle, according to David, all the earth is going to know that the God of Israel can't muster it up. He ain't got it. He's not all he's cracked up to be. He's a regional God. He's a limited God. He doesn't have all authority. He doesn't have all power. He doesn't have everything. He's not in control of everything. He's limited. All the earth is going to know that God is not able to do what he says he's able to do. And so David knows that what's on the line is the name of God. He has to fight this battle because everybody else is going to think that God's not able. But we know what happens, don't we? God wins the battle. And he goes forward in the full trust of the Lord. I love what it says. We'll keep reading. Verse 48. And he will give you into our hand. And then it happened with the Philistine. Rose and came and drew near to meet David. That David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag and took from it a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. Then David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in David's hand. Now, guys, I want you to notice something. Look at verse 47 with me. It says, verse 47, and that all the assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's. Do you see how David understood that it wasn't a weapon that was going to win that battle, but it was going to be God? If you think about what was going on, if David went out to fight Goliath, he didn't have a sword or a spear. He didn't have any armor on whatsoever. He goes out with a slingshot and a few rocks to fight a 9'9" giant armored up who eats children for breakfast. Help me understand that plan. That just doesn't make sense. And so here's David's plan. Are you ready for it? I'm going to take a slingshot and I'm going to throw a rock at a warrior who makes his living by killing people. Is this a well thought out plan? We can talk to David about that later. But here's something interesting I want to make sure you catch in Scripture. Look at verse 49. The stone struck the Philistine on his forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. Look back at verse 4, chapter 17. Verse 5. He had a bronze helmet on his head. how does a stone hit a giant 50 feet away on the head, go through the bronze helmet so much so that he falls on his face? Listen to me. Here's what David knew that you need to know about the giants in your life. The battle was never actually yours. The battle is the Lord's. What was going to kill Goliath was not some weapon like a sword or a spear or a shield or even a rock. What was going to kill Goliath was that David went in the full trust and confidence of the Lord, that when he did his part in throwing the rock, stepping up, fighting the giant, that God was going to make sure that rock landed where it needed to land to knock that giant on the ground so David could cut his head off. Your job when facing your giants is not to be the giant slayer so that everybody looks at you and go, wow, he has no giants in his life. Your job is to trust God. Say, God, this is a giant in my life. It is gripping me. It is holding fast to me, and I need you to slay it. That's you throwing your rock. And then you start moving things in your life. You don't just say a prayer without having action behind that prayer. So God, this is in my life, and now I'm going to start taking steps to remove this giant in my life. And it's going to cost me some things, God. I'm going to need your help. I'm going to need your help because I may lose friends. I may lose money. I may lose these things in my life that are precious to me. So I'm going to need your help, God. But this giant can't remain in my life because this giant is mocking you and is mocking me. God, I need you to slay this giant in my life. I need you to help me take the steps that is needed in my life so this giant will fall. Guys, the reality is David never showed up to that battle thinking that that rock was going to kill Goliath. Now, that was not David's plan. David had no idea that when he threw a rock in the air that that was actually going to work. He wasn't putting his trust in the rock to work. He was putting his trust in the Lord to do a great work. So what happens? Help me, work with me for just a minute. When David throws this rock and it hits this Goliath in his bronze helmet and it falls to the ground, what's David's plan B? He doesn't have a sword. He doesn't have a javelin. He doesn't have a spear. He doesn't have armor on. His king is hiding in a tent. The armies are hiding in a tent. What's David's plan B? He threw the rock and dink. Goliath's been to eat you. David doesn't have a plan B. He has a plan A. Trust in Jesus that this is going to work. I'm going to face this giant because he is mocking God and God will always defend his name. Here's the reality. Giants in your life are meant to fall. They're not meant to mock you or mock the Lord. Giants are meant to fall. And when you face your giants, you show up in the full confidence of the Lord and you throw your rock and you start putting things out of your life that don't belong in the full confidence of the Lord, guess what? That giant will fall. Because giants are meant to fall. You know, it's a really cool connection here. David himself is what they call a type of Christ in that he did things that told us about what Christ was going to do one day. And the really cool thing about what David did when he faced the giant, slayed the giant, it was a picture of what Jesus did for us, isn't it? Now there's this big giant called sin that was a problem in the life of humanity. And no matter how many rocks, if you will, that humanity threw at sin, or how many things that humanity did to remove sin from their lives, they were never going to be able to slay the giant of sin that kept people from their right relationship with God. And so Jesus does that, doesn't he? What does the Bible say about his birth? That he came to take away the sin of the world. That was the giant that was keeping humanity from having a right relationship with Jesus. And so when Jesus dies on the cross and takes man's punishment for their sin to the cross and is buried and raised on the third day, he conquers sin and death and makes a way for you to go to heaven, in effect slaying the giant of sin so you could be saved. And so what does God call you to do if you're a follower of Jesus? Trust in the one who slays giants. Live in the confidence of the Lord. Live in the victory that God has given you because of the salvation he gives you through Jesus. So you can throw rocks at giants all day long, but if you don't have Jesus in your life, they'll never be knocked down. So I don't know where you're at with your life with Jesus, whether you have a relationship with Him or not, but it starts with salvation. Have you truly surrendered your life to Jesus as Lord and Savior? Have you truly asked Him into your life to forgive you of your sin, to come in your life to save you, and you know that you know that you know that you're saved? A great question to ask yourself is, if I stood before God today, would He let me in heaven? And if you have any other answer that's not because I placed my faith in Jesus Christ, then you have the wrong answer. And then there's a lot of other you that are believers and have followed Christ for a while, and slowly you have let giants in your life. And maybe it started off as this little sin, and now it's a little bit bigger sin, and now it looks a lot like a giant. And to remove that giant is going to perhaps bring some shame. It's going to perhaps bring some naysayers in your life. But the reality is that giant can't stay. It's mocking God. It's keeping you relationship. You're keeping you from a relationship with God. And that giant has to fall. And so today, I want to encourage you to get that right with the Lord. Whether it starts with salvation or it starts with an acknowledgement that you have a giant in your life that needs to go. A sin that needs to be repented of. A sin that needs to be confessed. A cry to the Lord that you need help with that sin, so that you can walk in the freedom that the Lord has given you. Let me pray for us. Father God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that You are the ultimate giant slayer. God, I pray for all those in this room. God, there may be somebody here who doesn't know Jesus, who's never trusted in You as their Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that You would help them see their need for Jesus right now. Lord, they've come to that place of asking You into their life. In just a moment, we're going to stand and sing, and you'll have an opportunity to talk to the leader in the room to ask them how you can be saved. And if you're here today and you are realizing you have a giant or multiple giants that need to go, perhaps you just need to come to the altar and have business with God. Confess that, repent of that, turn from that, and ask God for help with that. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.